Okay. Well, guys, I'm very pleased to have Pastor Ron here to speak with us tonight, to share with us from the Word. And Ron, won't you come on?
All right. How's everybody? Good? Awesome. Who's awesome? All right, great. Well, that is awesome then. Hello again. My wife couldn't make it tonight. We've had three kids rotating who's going to throw up next. Yes, that's been really fun. But thankfully, only one child threw up last night, so that's good. We've had a heavy laundry machine the last few days. But she wished she could be here. She can't, but she says hi to everybody. Thank you for letting me be here. We're just going to, I'm pinch hitting again tonight for Pastor Tony so he can have a night off. So we're not going to continue the series we have been doing. We're just going to do one of my old sermons, if that's okay. Let's pray, shall we? Jesus, I just want to thank you so much for the wonderful worship that we had tonight with Corey and the band and your Holy Spirit that was present. I just am so thankful that we have a church that worships you so much with all of their heart, their mind, their soul, and their spirit. Lord, we thank you that we can worship you not only with the music, but with the fellowship with one another. And I pray, Lord, that now we can worship you with the word that we're going to hear tonight. Lord, I pray that my words will be your words and that you will be glorified. And Lord, I just pray that you'll let every person receive what it is that you want them to hear. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask you just a simple, basic question tonight.
Blue.
No, it's green. You're going to want to tell me the answer right away. It's so simple and basic, but it's actually quite a deep question that involves a lot of introspective thought. It's a question that you're going to have to deal with time and time again, depending where you're at in life. It's an important question that you need to internalize and you need to process. This is the question. Do you really matter? Think about it. Do you really matter? How many of you have a dime in your pocket? Raise your hand. Not very many? If you don't have a dime, how many of you have a thumb? Raise your hand. All right. After you get home tonight, it'll be dark. What I want you to do before you get inside is I want for you to look at the universe, and I want you to close one eye, and I want you to look at your thumb. Why do I want you to do that? Simply because, did you realize that in our galaxy, the Milky Way, there are 500 billion stars? And we are just a medium-sized galaxy in the universe that they project has 200 billion galaxies. And when you put your thumb or your dime up into the sky, do you want to know how many stars you're blocking out if you could see that far? About 15 million stars. And here you are, just one person on this planet. What makes you think that you matter? The world has been asking that question for a while. In fact, many people aren't sure if there is a God, and if there is a God, they think he's a deistic God. If you don't know what that is, that's where God just created us, kind of like a top, he spinned us, just to watch us wobble around until we eventually fall over and stop. They wonder, very often, do I matter? Is there a God? And if there is a God, does He even care? And if you just look at the world today, the condition of the world today, the ravaging effects of sin, you can wonder if He spinned His top and He walked away and He is doing something else in this glorious universe. Look at the economy. Just in our nation alone, we have a 9.7 unemployment rate. But if you add in all the self-employed and the people that are not in those stats, it's what, something like 17%. That's almost one out of five people are unemployed. We have sovereign nations tipping in the balances if they are going to fold or not. We have wars. We have rumors of wars. We have nations saber-rattling against one another. We have families that are disintegrating. We have declining health with less and medical entitlements coming. And we have disease that's on the uprise. We have epidemics and pandemics that can destroy entire civilizations or at least generations in a matter of weeks if everything lines up correctly. Has God spinned His top? And has He walked away? If you look at the universe and how large it is, if you look what's going on in the panorama of your life, you got to ask the question, do I really matter? Do I really care? The world says you do not. Matter of fact, the world says that you are being depreciated. Oh, if there is a God, you are created in intelligent design. But they're depreciating you like a car every year. They say that you do not matter and that you do not have a long history of value. That's why I want to ask you the question tonight, do you matter? And I want you to internalize it and I want you to embrace it. And by the end of this sermon, I hope that you will accept what I'm going to tell you tonight. Because from this day forward to the end of your life, it's just going to be an increasing storyline that you are worth less and less in the world's eyes. But even as humanity is decreasing in value, even as the world's falling apart, the world was still embracing a future Savior. And they believe this future Savior is technology. As a matter of fact, they are all already working on artificial intelligence. Did you know this? All you computer guys. You might think it's science fiction, but it's not, brothers and sisters. Right now, we have a segment of our government named NASA, and we have private organizations like Google and other companies that have already spent millions, if not billions of dollars, trying to create the next supercomputer that has artificial intelligence that is a self-aware computing system. Can you believe that? The pioneer of artificial intelligence, his name is Raymond Kurzweil. Now, he has a book. And he says in this book, if you believe that he is true, that with great precision, the arrival of the post-human evolution should occur by 2045. He goes on to say that there should also be a point when machine intelligence not only surpasses human intelligence, but takes over the process of technological invention. You're being devalued. Do you really matter? You see, these great supercomputers will have greater speed, accuracy, and ingenuity. And they won't, their employers won't have to worry if you get sick or if you make excuses or if you have bad performance or if you need to stay home with sick children. No, there's a constant eroding of our human dignity. It's a battle. It's going on. And the world is ushering in this new era of prosperity. It's happening, brothers and sisters. But it's not just the future. You know what I'm getting ready to tell you. It's not just the future. Things are happening right now that is destroying our dignity as human beings created in the image of God. You've heard it time after time, story after story. You know that there's children, small children around the world that are working 16-hour days, sometimes 6 to 7 days a week, for pennies a day just to be able to make enough money to put food in their mouths for that day. And they're being destroyed physically, emotionally, and spiritually a little bit every day. I have to wonder if they're going to bed at night, wondering during those quiet moments, do I matter? Is there a God? And does He care about me? Did you know conservatively, there are between 800 and 900,000 people that are forced into human trafficking every year? That's almost 1 million people. They are most of them are women and children. And as they're going through that horror, are they asking the same questions? Do I matter? Is there a God? And does He care for me? Some sobering statistics before I answer these questions. In Africa, East Africa, there's 6 million people starving to death today. In Africa, there's 20 million orphans. By the year 2025, 100 million people will have died of AIDS. Today, there's at least 600 million children living in poverty today. And if there's ever a war, did you know that 45% of all victims are children? These are statistics that come right off of the World Revolution website. But I'm here to reclaim the truth. I'm here to help you understand the truth about who you are. As the world is suffering and dying and saying that you have less value, what we believe in is technology, artificial intelligence, and anything else other than you, I'm going to refute that tonight with three propositions. That you are known by God intimately, that you are surrounded by God constantly, and that you are designed by God, you are wonderfully made. I'm going to prove that to you tonight, I hope. So as you go from this day forward, you are going to know the truth about what God thinks of you. Let's go to Psalm 139, if you would please. It's a beautiful psalm. Some of you know this psalm by heart. Others of you, you might be the first time you've read this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. As the world attempts to tell you one storyline, you've got a God that says something else. In your pew Bible, it's page 566, Psalm 139. Listen carefully, this is God's Word. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. O Lord, You have searched me and You know me. You know when I sit up and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me, my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is where I'm going to stop reading for tonight. This ends the reading of God's Word. May He be given the glory and the honor. The first six verses I entitle Intimacy. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. I don't know, I preach a lot in a lot of different places. I don't know if I've told you this story. If I have, forgive me. But I want to tell you a story about little Anastasia in Ukraine. The first time we knew about her, she was a three-year-old girl that was abandoned in a train station in Ukraine. Have I told you this story? Yes? No? Okay. Her mother chose to put her in a corner and walk away. Now, little Anastasia, she's only 3 years old. Her mother said, stay there. So what did she do? She stood there and waited. As she watched her mother walk away for the very last time, she started crying. She knew something was not right. She was fearful. I don't know how much time passed until finally a stranger came up to her because she was crying. She had a pacifier in her mouth. The stranger took the pacifier out of her mouth so she could discover what her name was. And she found out that she had a cleft lip. And not only did she have a cleft lip, somebody tried to fix it, probably somebody at home, by cutting her lip with scissors. She looked grotesque, almost like a monster. Instant shock. The police quickly went all over the train station to try to find the mother. She could not be found. She was taken to an orphanage when we discovered her. Almost immediately, it takes a lot to unnerve me. She unnerved me. We had no money in our budget. It was the easiest decision I ever made. I said, we've got to fix this girl's lip. She could not speak. All she could do was grunt. And to fast forward a year or two, she had multiple surgeries. And after she started feeling better about herself, she could now smile. She slowly began to speak. And lo and behold, after a few more months, her personality just bloomed. And she ended up being the most energetic child in the whole orphanage. Everybody loved little Anastasia. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, there is this American couple from Alabama that came to Ukraine, came to that orphanage, found Anastasia and adopted her and took her back to America, and now she's going to a private school. Christian couple. What are the odds of this grotesque little girl abandoned in the train station, watching her mother going away, probably crying, saying, what's going on? If she was an adult, she would be saying, do I matter? Where is God? Does He care? There are 100,000 orphans in Ukraine, if not more. But God knew her. He searched her. He remembered her. See, all the mother could do, she could just see the face. But God could see the heart. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that if God can remember little Anastasia, He remembers you. And He knows you. And He has searched you. It says in verse, 4 or 5, that He's hemmed you in. In the Hebrew, there are multiple words that can be translated here, but basically He's enclosed you. You can't get away from Him. And it says that He has His hand upon you. The Creator of the universe, that created 500 billion stars in our galaxy, within a universe of 200 billion galaxies, has put His hand upon you already. That's even a greater miracle than 100,000 orphans in Ukraine and Anastasia being picked out. The very classic passage, Romans 8:28, you don't have to go there. We know that in all things, how many things? All things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined. And those He predestined, He also called, right? And those He called, He justified. That's when you were saved. And those He justified, He also glorified, which is what happens when you get to heaven someday. Brothers and sisters, He knows when you arise and when you go to sleep. He knows your struggles. He knows your dreams. He knows your failures and He knows your successes. He has counted your tears and He knows every laugh that you have chuckled. He knows it all. And He has put His hand upon you. So yes, He knows you intimately. But the second proposition I want to tell you now is that He has also surrounded you. God is omnipresent. What does that mean, Ron? That means He has the ability to be present everywhere at the same time. So, it does not matter where you are, He is always going to be with you. Here, let's read our verses again. This is verses 7 through 12. This is the omnipresence of God. Verses 1 through 6 is His intimacy. Verses 7 through 12 is His omnipresence. Look what it says in verse 8. If I go to the heavens, You're there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. Verse 12. If he tries to run to the darkness, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Brothers and sisters, you can run like Jonah. You can run like Elijah. You can try to block Jesus out of your mind. You can even try to disprove the existence of God like so many atheists. But the truth remains that God is omnipresent and He is everywhere. But when we look at the panorama of what's going on in the world today, it's easy to forget His blessings, isn't it? Because it's so easy, for me included, to just be so myopic on what is going wrong in my life. But because God is present in your life constantly, 24/7, we sometimes forget these small blessings. For example, I thank God for the clothes I have on my back. I thank God that I don't have to go to bed hungry. I thank God I have heat in the winter and an air conditioner in the summer. I thank God that my children are healthy and I have a good school to take them to. I thank God for this beautiful church and that God drew us here. I thank God for people who pray for me. You can't make people do that. God inspires that. These are little things, but they're all blessings. And so oftentimes I become desensitized by those because they seem so common. Max Lucado, most of you probably know that author. He says that we live in an art gallery of divine creativity, and yet we're content to gaze only at the carpet. In other words, we are so focused looking down that we forget about the glorious God above us, that He's always around us. Or at the worst, we always look horizontally at what's happening in the world. And if we tend to listen to the world, all they're going to tell us is, oh, you have diminishing value. You are known by God intimately. And He is always with you and blessing you despite the struggles you're going through. But brothers and sisters, as we read already tonight, that He has perfectly designed you as well. And not just you. Everything that He has created is perfectly designed. For example, did you know that this earth tilts at a 23-degree angle? And if this earth is not tilted so that we have our seasons, did you know that we would have continents that are polar ice caps in essence? Did you know that if the moon was closer to the earth, that we would have huge tidal waves that would engulf the entire continents as well? Did you know that if the earth's crust was 15 feet thicker, or if the ocean was 3 to 5 feet deeper, that there would be no oxygen in the air that would produce no vegetation or life on earth? He has perfectly created that. Now, thankfully, we don't have a lot of flies in Colorado. And my daughter has asked me, Daddy, why did He create flies? I don't really have a good answer to that. I think I might have said something like, well, honey, birds have to eat too, or something, you know. Or frogs, yeah. But do you know the uniqueness about flies? Other than they bother us? Let me read something. According to a British scientist, the fly is the most talented aerodynamic thing on the planet. He's superior to any bird, bat, or bee. A housefly can make 6 turns a second, hover, fly straight down, fly backwards, do somersaults, and on the ceiling and perform various other show-off maneuvers. And it has a brain smaller than a sesame seed. Perfectly created for birds and frogs. God was creative, perfectly creative in the universe, on our planet, and to the most minor of things, a fly. So don't you think that He would fearfully and wonderfully create you? In fact, I am here to say that you're His crowning achievement. I mean, if you just look at the body, there are 26 bones in the human foot. There are 600 muscles in our body. There are nerves carrying 1,000 separate impulses per second. There are 100 billion nerve cells and 12 billion neurons which control our memory and thought processes. And that's just the physical side. You know from Scripture that we are made in the image of God spiritually as well. And when God breathed into Adam, He gave him life, right? And when the Holy Spirit called you home, you were saved. If God put such creative ingenuity within the world, if He created the universe perfectly, if He created the smallest of God's creatures perfectly, then He has created you perfectly. As the world continues to depreciate you, I want you to remember this psalm. I want you to remember that you're wonderfully made. You are made in intelligent design. I cannot answer the why questions that we all have. I can't tell you why little children die. I can't tell you why your nest egg was destroyed 2 or 3 years ago in the financial meltdown. I can't tell you why you're not being healed. Can't answer those. But I will end with Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast or have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, like Nastia's mother, I will not forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are ever before me. So as the world continues to depreciate you, and if you slip sometimes in the quiet moments in your bed and you ask the question, do I matter? Yeah, you do. Just flip to 139. Because He loves you with an everlasting love. I want you to take that. I want you to receive that. I want you to remember that. Amen? Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, thank you so much that even though you know the stars in the sky, even though Corey's song, Indescribable, I even thank you more, Lord, that you know us by name. I thank you that all of the days were written in your book of life before they ever came to pass, that you know everything about us. Lord, I pray that you keep us safe. I pray that you continue to fill us and guide us and direct us and bless us. Even as the world spirals downward, may we raise our eyes to you and say thank you. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you that you made us wonderfully. It's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen.